Welcome back to the program. All right, so my favorite cabinet member is Scott Pruitt. And yes, Scott Pruitt probably should be tidy with his public exposure and finances, but given what he has managed to accomplish and the attacks he is taking for what are comparatively minor transgressions, that suggests Scott Pruitt has been doing an awful lot more good than harm with regard to the EPA. We're going to get to that. But before we get to that, Jeff Steyer, who is with the Consumer Choice Center, has got a great piece up today. If you want to go read it, I will tweet this out. Jeff Steyer, who I have on the program occasionally to talk about these kinds of things, but also to talk about big tobacco and big pharmaceuticals and what they are trying to do, it seems, to keep people addicted to cigarettes. Will you please share what you just told me? Because I know we're going to talk about the EPA, but you also talk about tobacco harm reduction and how we have failed to embrace this concept. The American Lung Association is trying to throw some more cold water on the fire of harm reduction.
It really blew me away. They were not talking about harm reduction per se, although they've been some of the biggest advocates against it. They have a piece that they did with the Consumer Reports that was published yesterday in the Washington Post. Interestingly, they disclosed, quote-unquote, Consumer Reports has no financial relationship with any advertisers on this site. Well, certainly they do. There are lots of pharmaceutical advertisers. And the piece is a promotion for the American Lung Association. The first line of the article says, and I quote, "The common assumption that cutting back on cigarettes is nearly as good for your health as quitting just went up in smoke." And they say that there was a study in the British Medical Journal that says that even if you are a pack-a-day smoker and you quit smoking a pack a day and you go down to one cigarette, that you're only halving your risk of a heart attack and stroke. And that may be true, but you're still doing a lot of good, more than half. And what really shocked me in this piece was they quoted the American Lung Association, which has kind of a zero-risk point of view on these issues and opposes harm reduction. They say, and I'm quoting their medical specialist, quote, "When you're down to one cigarette a day, it's like you're dealing with more of a habit than a chemical addiction to nicotine. There's such a low amount of nicotine being consumed at that point," says Dr. Albert Rizzo, a senior medical advisor to the American Lung Association. So essentially what he's saying is that smoking one cigarette a day is a habit more than a chemical addiction. Could you imagine if any advocate for harm reduction said that as you progress to quitting smoking completely, which is what I recommend, and use e-cigarettes, and you're occasionally having a cigarette, maybe one a day, down from a pack a day, that you're not really addicted anymore from the cigarette nicotine, that it's really not an addiction, that cigarette smoking one a day is not an addiction, you would be ostracized in the public health community.
You wouldn't be allowed to get away with that. And it probably is true that if you're smoking one cigarette a day, it's a habit, not an addiction. But the American Lung Association would absolutely ostracize Jeff Steyer if he ever put anything like that in print, because you advocate tobacco harm reduction. I'm actually more concerned about the inane.
Which was enough for them to ostracize me.
Of course. But it's inane to say that going from 20 cigarettes a day to one cigarette a day doesn't do substantial good. And to say the idea of cutting back doesn't do, just went up in smoke is a lie. That is a lie.
That is true. And the way a lot of people quit smoking, if you're smoking a pack a day, if you can get down, if I were talking to a family member, and if they went from a pack a day to one cigarette a day, I would say, wow, that's huge. And you're on the way to quitting completely, which is the goal. And maybe you need an e-cigarette to get you over that hump. And the idea that quitting smoking completely and having e-cigarettes doesn't do more than half of the good is absurd. So the goal is to get people to quit smoking completely. It's a journey. E-cigarettes can help people get over that hump, especially now that the American Lung Association says that you're not addicted to nicotine anymore just from a cigarette. So I think we're going to have to keep holding them to the truth.
Oh, I think so, too. And I think you're going to, I think also as well, you're going to have to stop. I mean, I think there needs to be a campaign to say, stop trying to convince people to not try to quit smoking or reduce smoking in any way they can. Well, geez, if I'm not going to really do myself that much good, I might as well just keep smoking.
That's like we need to give people another excuse to keep smoking.
No kidding. That's just, I mean, that almost seems to me deliberately designed to try to get headlines and clicks, but not actually people reading articles to understand what's going on. Let me bring your attention, though, to the EPA, if I can. Mr. Steyer, you have a piece with, and I might say this person's name wrong, Yael Osowski?
Well done.
Ha!
He is my colleague at the Consumer Choice Center.
He must be one of my people. I see that last name and I say, that dude's Polish. All right. So, but you're taking a look at the light the hair on fire reaction to what are, I mean, comparatively, especially compared to what's going on with the FBI and Andrew McCabe and all of this stuff that's coming out, minor, mini controversies about Scott Pruitt. And it's getting attention from the press in ways that you would expect only something major. I mean, look at Scott Pruitt's predecessor, who was implicated in all kinds of ethics violations, almost zero.
Fake email address to avoid Freedom of Information Act.
But nothing in the way of the coverage that is now hounding Scott Pruitt. Threats, credible threats, are being sent to Mr. Pruitt and his family, and all of this because he wants to actually have science, not politics, but actual science, peer-reviewed science, so that we can all see it too, be used to inform government regulations.
But Vicky, it's even more troubling than that, because a lot of the scandals have been cooked up because he has done some things to increase his security at the advice of the security experts at the EPA, those that predate the Trump administration, security experts at the EPA. Now, the EPA, EPA officials, we write in the piece, are used to getting threats. But those threats against the administrator usually come in the form of letters from law firms threatening litigation. Now, those threats are not only from the crazed people on Twitter, but they're coming in the form of hard-to-trace postcards. One was sent from a museum in Boston. And the threats, I can't repeat all of them on the radio, but one of the more genteel ones said, and I quote, "Get out while you can, Scott. Get out while you still can, Scott." And they say that he's going to die a painful death. Now, if I were an EPA administrator, I'd certainly want increased security if I were traveling. I think it might be best to travel in first class to have some buffer. That has now turned into a first-class travel scandal, as if he's traveling around the world at in first class on taxpayer dime just to get a free drink. That's not what this is about. So what's happened is the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Democrat senators who are pushing this scandal have been dismissing the seriousness of the threats. In fact, I read one press release by a Democrat senator. He put the word threat in scare quotes.
So Scott Pruitt's getting credible threats sent to him in anonymous postcards with actual things that say things like, "You're going to die." His own security advisors say, "Mr. Pruitt, it's advisable to increase your security. Here are some of our recommendations." He does that, and now the Democrats pounce on him and say, "How come you're spending so much money?"
How quickly they forget the most obvious lesson that we learned from the June 2017 targeting of Republican members of Congress, where Steve Scalise was shot and others were shot by someone who defined himself as a Bernie Sanders supporter and had hatred of conservatives and President Trump. And as you said at the opening, Scott Pruitt has been probably the most effective cabinet-level member for putting in place the policies that this president campaigned upon. And that's why he's a target of the threats. That's why the Washington Post and the New York Times and the Democrat senators are going after him. And how sadly ironic that they're going after him for taking care of his own security.
Well, I'm not surprised, but having those details, I think, is quite telling. So the conditions that the left, that the political left, that is now all about hate, have put him in, have required additional security. So he's complied with that, and that that additional security tees up the political left to attack him for additional security. And by the way, it's chump change. It's chump change in the grand scheme of things. And in terms of the level of dollars we're talking about here, it's chump change, especially when you put it up against the cost of the unscientific regulations based on a political interpretation of a study that was designed for a specific outcome. If you put it up against the cost of those regulations in excess of billions of dollars every year, then what Scott Pruitt is doing to increase his security ain't nothing.
The other scandal that made headlines was a $43,000 phone booth in his office, and they like calling it a phone booth. Now, the prior EPA administrator had a secure phone line, and it was on a different floor. So this administrator, and I don't think he said this, I haven't seen them say it publicly, but I'll say it for them. There are career officials at the EPA who don't want him to succeed. So I don't know, if I were EPA administrator, I'd want to have secure conversations. And I don't know what it was doing on another floor, why the prior EPA administrators had to go to another floor, but certainly makes sense to me that his secure phone line would be in his office. And there have been, by the way, security breaches at the EPA headquarters, people trying to get in after him. So
This is crazy.
To try to make a phone call.
This is crazy. They were doing this to Ajit Pai as well at the FCC. Now they're doing this to Scott Pruitt, where they're threatening him, his family. It necessitates an increase in security. Mind you, what either one of these two men did was bring back transparency where it hadn't existed for years and reengage stakeholders and the public, and in Pruitt's case, science, in the process of regulation. That's all these guys have done. These are not, we're not talking about monsters here. Scott Pruitt has just simply brought back transparency and science. And in fact, he hasn't shut down debate by any means. What he has done, however, is he's brought in a red team, blue team operation that encourages scientific, real scientific debate over real scientific information. And this is what they fear, Jeff.
In fact,
the actual science.
You're going to hear more about the EPA probably next week. There has been a push going back to Congressman Lamar Smith's efforts to make sure that all of the science that the EPA used to justify regulations was transparent, to make sure that it was published in peer-reviewed sources, not to use private documents that the EPA put together to justify a very expensive rule. And that's what a lot of EPA rules are based on. A lot of the pollution rules make these absurd assumptions about very low levels of exposure to pollutants and say, here's the justification, but you can't, you know, it's not published. We can't show it to you. And the EPA has been looking at getting rid of this secret science, and they will only be allowed to rely on science that can be reviewed by the public, that can be reviewed by outside scientists and have a true, fair, open discussion on the rulemaking process based on science that we could all review. You know, everyone can play tricks with science. Everyone can put out studies that says all sorts of things. But the way we ensure the integrity of the scientific process and the rulemaking that it's supposed to be based upon is by having outside peer review. You know, you can go to any journal nowadays and submit an article. They'll have anonymous peer reviewers from your own school of thought look at it, and you can get it published. That's all we're asking for. We're not saying you shouldn't rely on peer-reviewed science. We're saying that the science, that this EPA is going to be saying, that the science that the EPA uses to justify regulation should be publicly available so that other scientists can review it.
And that means a whole bunch of regulations might not be forthcoming if, in fact, those regulations cannot be justified publicly through peer review. Jeff has got a great piece, by the way, today. Consumer Choice Center is the name of the organization. We'll put this up on the blog and on my social media as well. Jeff Steyer, thank you very much.
Thanks, Vicki.
Good to have you on the program. We'll be right back.